Hi, I'm Ray Hager, standing in for Sam Chad, and welcome to an all-new edition of Nevada Newsmakers. Today, we're having part two of our interview with historian Guy Clifton. That's coming up next on Nevada Newsmakers.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chad.
I welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is a continuation of yesterday's show. We have Guy Clifton, a noted Nevada author, historian, reporter, and storyteller. Maybe that was his best attribute. Guy, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers.
Thanks, Ray. Great to be here.
Thank you. You know, you've written 8 books, and they all center about Nevada stuff. We have the Johnson-Jeffries fight. We have the history of the Reno Rodeo, among two. One of them, one of your books, and people say this is your best work. It's called Dempsey in Nevada, and it's about former boxing champion Jack Dempsey's time in Nevada, which really hardly anybody knows about. In fact, former RGJ publisher Warren LaRude said you wrote this about something that many of us didn't even know was a story. So what is the story of Jack Dempsey in Nevada?
Well, Jack Dempsey, you know, he was, when you look back at the golden age of sports, which was the 1920s, and think about the stars of the day. If we look back at it today and say who was the most famous athlete then, everybody would say Babe Ruth. But in their day, Jack Dempsey was the biggest star of the 1920s.
He was the champion
from 1919 to 1926. Babe Ruth's highest salary with the New York Yankees was about $88,000 in 1927. Jack Dempsey made $717,000 for one fight against Gene Tunney in 1926. So he fought in the first $1 million gate, and he fought in the first $2 million gate. He fought in the first $1 million gate where there was no title attached to the bout. He went and starred in Hollywood. He starred on vaudeville. When he came to Reno as a retired champion in 1931, the only thing you compare it to now, he moves to Reno in 1931 and buys a house and everything. And, the only thing you can compare it to now would be like, what if Tiger Woods came in, or Michael Jordan came and bought a house in Reno? It would be that kind of reaction to it.
What did he do here? Was he a fight promoter, or did he travel around the state?
Both. He came here in, funny, he came here in 1931. He was married 4 times in his life, and all his wives had there was a Nevada connection to all his marriages. His first wife worked as a brothel in Wells. His second wife, he ended up getting divorced from in Reno. He married his third wife in Elko, and he had to come to Reno in 1964, his last publicized trip here, so his fourth wife could get divorced from her husband so they could get married.
1964?
1964.
How old was he then? He must have been a real old timer.
He was. Jack Dempsey lived until he was 87 years old. He died in 1983, and really eulogized, President Reagan eulogized him, said Jack Dempsey was a champion that never lost his title in the eyes of the American people. He was one of those guys that became more popular as time went on. He wasn't a particularly popular champion at first because his first wife, her name was Maxine Cates, who worked in this Wells brothel, accused him of being a draft dodger for World War I. And it was really something that haunted him for the rest of his life, the accusation really? That he had been a draft dodger. Why he was in his 40s in World War II and he volunteered to go into the Coast Guard and served in uniform, was at Okinawa during the invasion of Okinawa for that, because he wanted to show that that he did have this love of country, that he wasn't a draft dodger. So it was really just a really important part of his life. But anyway, he came to Reno. He fought in Reno in 1915, just as a 19-year-old kid. Came here, he was too poor to even buy a ticket on the train. Came here riding on the brake beams of the train. It was a practice called riding the rods that the hobos used. Came here and fought a couple times. Went down and fought in Goldfield and then in Tonopah. He and this guy, Johnny Sudenberg, they fought and got paid $100 for their fight in Tonopah. And then they went to the bar to celebrate, and some robbers came in and stuck up the bar and took their $100. So they didn't
and
get anything for the fight. Yeah, that was in Tonopah. So that was in 1915. And then he fought in Ely a couple times. He fought in... came back and fought in Reno as the number one contender to the heavyweight championship in 1918.
And, now, who did he fight in Reno in 18?
He fought a guy named Jack Moran, who was...
Jack Moran?
Yeah, who was not a very good boxer, I guess. Before the fight, Jack Moran was training down at Moana Springs, and he put on what the newspaper described as a fancy diving exhibition, and he kind of put one on in the ring the next day, too, because Dempsey knocked him out real fast.
So he really took a dive in the ring as well. Well, he was getting practice out at Moana.
That's right, yeah, but Dempsey knocked him out in one round.
Did Dempsey have a title fight in Nevada at all?
He never had a title fight in Nevada. He, although there was a lot of speculation that he would have when he fought Jess Willard. Jess Willard is the guy that took the championship from Jack Johnson
yes.
in Havana, Cuba. So Dempsey was the champion after Willard. The fight that they had in Toledo was a lot of people speculated that said Reno was the only place that could hold this fight because the boxing laws were still pretty restrictive at the time. And but Tex Rickard, who was the promoter, who also had promoted the Johnson-Jeffries fight, he wanted to get to a population center, and Toledo was a place where the people could come by boat on the Great Lakes and from Chicago and places like that were nearby and attract a big crowd, and he did. He made over $800,000 for that fight.
Didn't he also fight in Yankee Stadium?
He did. He fought a guy named Jack Sharkey, who was the number one contender. This is after he lost his title. Go ahead.
We got to take a break.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back. I get lost in Guy Clifton's stories. They're so interesting. We'll be right back more with Guy Clifton after these few messages.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat, Q keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Our guest today is historian and storyteller Guy Clifton. Guy, when we were took a break from the last segment, you were talking about the Jack Dempsey fight in Yankee Stadium. What year? It was against, was it Richard Sharkey or Jack Sharkey?
Jack Sharkey.
Okay.
Okay, so this is, Dempsey had lost
what
his title.
Year is this?
1927.
Okay.
Or 1926. Dempsey had lost his title to Gene Tunney. And instead of having a direct rematch, Tex Rickard decided that he was going to have some of the other top fighters do a round robin, and then a number one contender would go and challenge Gene Tunney for the title again.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up Dempsey against Jack Sharkey in Yankee Stadium as the first $1 million gate where there was no title attached to it. And the greatest thing that happened in that fight is that Sharkey was kind of slapping Dempsey around the ring the way that Tunney had done earlier. And Dempsey was still, he was a bullfighter, and he was just still continuing to go forward. And he was hitting Sharkey with a lot of body shots, and some that Sharkey thought might have been low. And on one particular shot to the solar plexus that Sharkey turned to the referee to complain, and when he did, he dropped his hands, and Dempsey knocked him out. So he hit him when he dropped his hands to complain to the referee. Dempsey hit him and knocked him out. So the reporters asked Dempsey about that after the fight, and he said, "Well, what was I supposed to do? Write him a letter?"
And what was the attendance of that fight?
It was over 80,000 people.
80,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he fought Gene Tunney in Chicago at Soldier Field the next year, and there were over 120,000 people at that fight. It was incredible. If you ever seen the photos of those fight scenes.
Wow.
And that was the first $2 million gate. Gene Tunney won that one as well, and he was given a check for $1 million by Tex Rickard.
Okay, enough with Dempsey. I want to go on to something else. You, one of your first books came in 2002, and it's called "You Know You're a Nevadan If," and it was a lot of things that only Nevadans would get a kick out of, and it some of the things, you know, you're a Nevadan if you've ever had to wait for a cow to cross on the highway.
Yeah.
Okay, you know you're a Nevadan if you've ever eaten an awful, which of course is the famous hamburger that was brought to Nevada by Dick Graves. And another one is you know you're a Nevadan if you've seen state laws being made at Jack's Bar. And of course, Jack's Bar is across the street from the Nevada legislature, where a lot of the lawmakers would go and have a drink and talk over laws and proposed amendments and proposed laws over a little bit of alcohol, and maybe it kind of lightened them up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, you're a Nevadan if, how did you come up with that?
Well, that thing is, it's amazing that really took on a life of its own.
Yeah.
I had done just one column in the RGJ. I had a column at the time that appeared in the life section, and I did, here's some signs that you know you're Nevadan. It was just those very things like that, just silly things like you've thrown a rock down a mine shaft and stuff. And what I did is I opened it up to readers to send in their own suggestions on that. And I literally see thousands and thousands of people sending in those things. I was receiving that stuff for 4 or 5 years after that, almost every week. And so I was having lunch with some of our other friends, John Trenton and others at JJ's Pie Company one day, and I said, you know, I'd really like to turn that into a book, and I'd like it to go to charity, and I wonder how I could go about that. And they suggested I go through Nevada Humanities, which I did, and Marilyn Melton, who was Roland Melton's widow and a great friend of mine, was on the Humanities Board at the time, and she said, not only do we need to turn this into a book, I need to do the illustrations for you. So yes. There's a lot of artwork in these little books that Marilyn, who's a beautiful, you know, wonderful artist, she did all the illustrations, the mugshots of various people and some Nevada scenes and stuff like that. And so we not only did number one, it was so popular, we said, well, we need number two, because people in Las Vegas were complaining, there's not enough Las Vegas stuff in there. And so we did number two and put a bunch of Las Vegas stuff in there as well. And then
so
people from
volumes.
The north didn't want to buy it. So two volumes. And I have enough stuff for volume three. And Marilyn and I kick it around every once in a while if we're going to do volume three.
Do you
think
you'll do volume three?
I think we will. I think we will eventually, but not anytime soon.
Okay,
we both have stuff to work on.
Before we take a break, you know, you and I wrote a book about the Johnson-Jeffries fight, that, you know, the greatest fight in history that happened in Reno in 1910. And I've tried to suggest to you that we get together again and do a story or do a book on the history of minor league baseball in Reno, but you, so far, you're not nibbling at that one.
I mean, that it's a great topic, and I think we could have fun doing it. But as you know from working on the Johnson-Jeffries book, that's like having a full-time job on top of your full-time job, and you kind of have to make that commitment and dive in with, you know, and just do it. And I don't know at this point if I have enough irons to be able to put that one in the fire too.
Right. Okay, well, Guy, let's take a break right now. We'll be back right after these few messages with noted storyteller Guy Clifton.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't going to let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. The guest, of course, is author, historian, storyteller, journalist, Guy Clifton. Guy, you are the public information officer now for the Nevada State Museums. Before that, you were a longtime employee and writer for the Reno Gazette Journal. In fact, I hired you at the Reno Gazette Journal, it must have been in 1993.
It's your fault.
Yes, I was the sports editor, and you came in as my assistant sports editor, and we worked very well together. But I think you've really, you know, since you've gone over to working for the state, you've really landed on your feet, mostly because you work for a governor that is a true student of history. Governor Brian Sandoval, he's really big with history on the USS Nevada, and if you ever get in back of his office, he's got a lot of artwork from the Civil War, which he is really a student of. How is it working for such a, you know, someone who respects history so much? It must really help your job.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of levels between my job and where the governor is, obviously.
Right, he's got more to worry about.
Supervisors and stuff like that, but Governor Sandoval is, just being able to be around him and hear some of his stories and some of his knowledge of the state is really spectacular. And I just want to, you know, just a few weeks ago, I was able to sit in on the dedication of his portrait at the official unveiling of his portrait at the Capitol. And the thought that he put into the portrait on some of the things that he want in there, he is the only governor's portrait that actually has the Nevada flag in the painting itself. So he has that. He gave that a lot of thought. He spent, I think it was 60 hours with this artist, you know, just sitting and just talking and sharing his love of history and some of the things he wanted to have in there, what, you know, the pose and everything like that. So for me, and, you know, you keep referring to me as a historian, but I would just call myself a history buff because that really makes the academic historians mad if somebody calls themselves a historian. But,
well, you got eight books.
I'm a Nevada history buff, and you know, and the governor's the same way. He studies it, and he really revels in it. He knows a lot of the thing about all the past governors. He knows about the different artists that have done some of those paintings. But he has broadened it. Just a depth of knowledge just about the whole history of the state that is really remarkable. And, you know, for somebody like myself who loves history and, you know, I always tell people I never have a bad day in this new job because if I'm having a tough time, I can go sit on a train or I can go to the museum and talk to one of the curators and go down in the old mine tunnel at the State Museum or see the coin press operator, something like that. So, you know, and that's the way the governor is when he comes to the museum. He's like one of the little kids, and he just loves to look around at all this stuff and to see everything and to experience that. And, you know, he turned the second floor of the Capitol, which basically had been a wasteland, into a museum piece. There's not only Battleborn Hall, but the way that the old assembly chamber has been restored with all the flags and with the way the Supreme Court, and there's now a exhibit that honors Nevada's women through history and stuff like that that's up there. That's all because of him and because of his love of history. And so it's been, you know, I like to say that, and you might agree with this, I think in my lifetime in Nevada, there's been like three really great governors, and Michael Callahan would be one of those, and Kenny Gwynn would be one of those, and Brian Sandoval would be another one.
Well, speaking of Governor Gwynn, didn't he... He had a lot to do with your first book about, you know, your Nevada NIF, didn't he?
Governor Gwynn wrote the foreword for that first book, and was really kind enough to do that for me, and it was really hysterical. And one of the funniest stories I could tell you about the RGJ, Governor Gwynn's press secretary was Greg Bordelon, who
right.
was a good friend of yours and mine. He was my college roommate and stuff, and I had tried to set up an interview with the with Governor Gwynn at his office as he was approaching the end of his two terms in office. And so we had it set up for Carson City. I was supposed to drive down there, but out of the blue at the RGJ, I get a call from Greg, and he says, "Hey, we're in town. Do you mind if we just come over to the office?" So I said, "I don't mind at all." So we go out, and here comes the governor, and he just walks through the RGJ newsroom, and that was when there were actually people in the newsroom, you know, a lot of people in there. And we walked through and went over to the little conference room and sat down for an interview. And I'll just never forget hearing the clomping feet of our publisher running down the hall to say hi to the governor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When he came in, and he's like, "What are you doing here, governor?" And Kenny Gwynn, just with the straightest face, said, "Well, guy called me and said he wanted an interview, so I came right over." So,
you know, You talked about the kids, you know, and studying history. Why is it important for children to have the knowledge of the past?
Well, I think it's really important to know where you came from, and to know just some of the things that have happened that Nevada's is makes Nevada Nevada. You know, we have an incredible amount of people that have come through here. Some great stories, you know, that are there to share, and no other state has the history that Nevada has. You know, just like I'm sure if I lived in, you know, wherever, Alabama or Mississippi or somewhere like that, or Texas, then I'd be just as proud of that heritage and that history as well. But the, you know, Nevada has a great story to tell, and you know, we need to learn it.
Okay, and as John F. Kennedy once said, the knowledge of the past prepares us for the crisis of the present and the challenge of the future. With that, we're going to end this interview with Guy Clifton. We'll be right back after these few messages to wrap up this edition of Nevada Newsmakers.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Thanks for watching. Remember, you can see all the Nevada Newsmakers broadcasts on NevadaNewsmakers.com, and you can also download the podcasts. Thanks for watching.